Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Welcome back, Posh fans. Peterborough United won 4-3 away at Crawley Town on Tuesday night. I'm joined tonight to discuss the game by Ashley, Dell, John, me, Harry, and there's only one place I can start. John, what did you think of Abraham Oddo's performance?
Yeah, all right. He was pretty good, weren't he? Yeah, we'll give it him. No, he was very good. I don't want to take anything away from Oddo. Maybe I was Mr. Motivator because that was certainly his best performance in a Posh shirt. We've been waiting to see a performance like that. And he ultimately won us the game pretty much single-handedly, you'd have to say. It was almost a perfect performance. I thought all three of his goals in the first half were expertly taken. The volley and the first finish were both really, really impressive. And then his third goal was a good run to the back post and right place, right time. And then a great run at the end, showed good fitness levels to get in behind and draw the foul, which we have seen a couple of times from Oddo now. So yeah, that was a brilliant performance. And if he keeps doing that, I am going to look like that idiot that I said you could all call me. Whether he will, I still think the jury's still out. We all remember Emil Sinclair has a championship hat-trick to his name, so let's not go overboard on Oddo praise just yet, but I don't want to take anything away from him because that was a sensational performance last night. And I can't discourage that or stop any of the enthusiasm for that. That's certainly worth the standing ovation that he got preemptively at Reading, perhaps.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, like, all three of his goals, I didn't feel like I could celebrate because we've been so harsh on him. I kind of felt like the biggest hypocrite in the world is these balls at the back of the net. And I just stood there in, like, pure shock. Like, the bloke's plucked a volley out of the sky and, like, just it's just found its way. Like, any other day of the week, I'd imagine that probably ends up at Gatwick Airport. But yesterday, everything was flowing in his favour, wasn't it? And like you say, John, you've been critical. I've been critical. I think that when I think back to Bristol Rovers and he just watched the ball run out of play down that far end, which was probably the most frustrating thing that I think I've seen him do. Yesterday was just an absolute delight to watch Abraham Oddo. And look, D-Mac said it before, hasn't he, when we did the live with him, that he was the replacement. And he said it when we signed him for EMC. He's not hit those heights yet. Whether he will or not, we don't know. But I think that everything that I'm seeing now is all just sort of gearing up in the right direction for next season. And that ultimately needs to be our focus, especially once we get Wembley out of the way, is that we start to look ahead to next season and we start to get these players to play themselves into a good level of form so they can have a rest, they can come back and hit pre-season hard. And, you know, we can attack the league again. If I think about the performance as a whole, it was really bizarre and crazy. Like, it felt, again, like it could have gone any which way. Somehow we've managed to get the 3 points, but at the same time, we could have probably conceded another 3 goals in the second half, and that would have been a fair result to Crawley. Like, Crawley were really at it, and it just was a really good advert for League One and an entertaining game and one of those ones that you just didn't want to stop. Like, if they'd have said, we'll play for another 30 minutes and see what happens in that, then, you know, that would have been enjoyable. I had a great time. It was a great football match.
I agree that it was a great advert for League One midfielders and forwards. I do not think it was a good advert for League One defenders for either side. Having watched the goals back, I mean, especially our first goal, where Poku, his pass to Oddo was or should have been intercepted by their fullback, and he's just essentially kept his foot out the way of it, which is just insane. And for their first two goals, the sleeping at the back was just painful to watch. And when our ratings come out, you'll see there's quite a big discrepancy between the scores for some of our defenders and some of the other players on the pitch. But as you say, shouldn't take away from the fact that it was a great, entertaining game. Honestly, I rarely feel any kind of heartbreak for other teams, but given the situation Crawley were in, you know, two wins on the bounce, massive effort ball last night from their players to lose it like that when they so easily could have won it. Brutal. But look, that is football, and we kept ourselves in the game all the way till the end. And that's how you get 3 points away from home, is just to never give up.
Well, let's not beat about the bush, right? It really wasn't that skillful game of football that we all thought it would. It was a really, really entertaining game of football. There was sloppiness at the back from both teams. Some of the passing, it was just lazy passing from both us and them. You know, you look at Malik when he just like literally passed the ball back for them to run onto and score. But from an entertainment point of view, fucking excellent. You know, 3-3, or 3-1, or 3-2, 2-2, 3-3, fucking, and then to get a penalty in the last minute. That's not Posh's way, is it? You know, not of late this season. So it makes a change that a little bit of luck's going our way. But yeah, going back to Odo, fair play to him. Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as saying he was unplayable, but he was very, very good. You know, three decent goals. I wouldn't say it's the best hat-trick I've ever seen either. That's got to be David Farrell. If anybody, I think I've said this before, go and watch it on YouTube. Best hat-trick you'll ever see. But no, decent hat-trick. And also, you know, he earned the penalty by a good run-in. And then what a stupid tackle from the Crawley defender. You know, we'd be going fucking apeshit if that was one of ours, wouldn't it? That was really such a stupid thing to do. But, you know, there was, I don't think anybody really, apart from Odo, I don't think anybody had a particularly good game. I think there's a lot of averages there, and that was about it. But, yeah, an enjoyable game. Loved it. And I don't normally feel for fans, opposition fans, and I don't really feel for Crawley, but you've got to, like, look at them and think, fuck me, they didn't deserve to lose that game today. You know, I actually was quite impressed with the way there was, you know, you wouldn't have thought that was down the bottom of the league, the way they was battling, the way they was fighting for every ball. And, you know, fucking kudos to the manager that's come back in. Lindsay, is it? Somebody said, you know, has come back in, and clearly they've, you know, they've upped their game. And who knows, if he was there all season, my prediction of them finishing 15th may have actually come true. But no, going back to the game, I did enjoy the game. And it's nice to get pretty much a last-minute winner. And fair play to Odo. What's that word we call? Venn diagram? Venn diagram of shit or Venn diagram of good? I don't know. But, yeah, he was a fair play. Man of the match by a country mile for me.
Yeah, it was a really weird one, wasn't it, the game as a whole? Like, when we put all of our ratings into the group, it was, like, the biggest range of ratings from, like, absolute dog shit to ultimately, I think that Odo finished with like a 9.6 or something like that. And even he wasn't perfect. He's got an assist for the penalty and a hat trick. And even he's managed to sort of mess up at times. And I just wanted to echo sort of what Dell and Harry both said about Crawley. Like, there are plenty of shit teams in League One. And it will be a shame to see a team like Crawley get relegated, because I think that that's probably them destined now. But teams like Bristol Rovers, teams like Burton, teams like Northampton, teams like Exeter even as well, they probably deserve to go down more than that. And I know that their fans are praising Scott Lindsay, but ultimately I think that, you know, short memory and that, he snaked them to piss off to MK Dons, didn't he? And if, like Dell said, if he was there all season, I'm so confident that he would have had those players, you know, away from the relegation battle and probably similar to where we are in the league. And it just goes to show, although it's not quite the same, Posh sticking with Fergie when it was rough, when it was difficult, we're now bearing the fruits of that as we head towards the end of the season. And like I said before, getting ready for next season. So it's not exactly the same sort of scenario, but I'm glad that we stuck with Fergie. You know, Scott Lindsay is going to do good things for Crawley next season. I'm sure of it.
I want to mark a card here. I want to put my cards on the table. I agree with you. I was very impressed with Crawley last night. I thought they were actually had similar flaws to us, which is what made it quite an entertaining game, in the sense that they were a very good technical team, but it looked like they could not defend for anything. And I think they have conceded more goals than anybody else in the league. And to have conceded more goals than us, you've done pretty well this season. But there was one player in particular, Quintero, the winger, the guy that scored the first goal. I thought he looked really, really good. And we know a lot of posh scouting network sort of goes, they played well against us, so we might actually sign them. It would not surprise me at all if he comes to and starts playing in a blue shirt next season. I believe he's had a decent year at Crawley. I think he scored about 8 goals in League One, only 24. So I was having a look at him last night. Looked very much a Peterborough United type of player. So I wouldn't massively surprise me to see him come in. I am surprised that they've struggled so much, though, looking at them like that. And a 6-point deficit, it wouldn't massively shock me if they overturn that. Just turning on to posh things now, I just wanted to say what a joy it was to watch that performance. I know the second half was a little bit of watching through your hands because we didn't really get going, certainly after halftime. I thought in the first half it was quite an even game where both teams just attacked and neither team could defend. In the second half, I thought they were comfortably the better team. But I just enjoyed watching the game, and I think I was probably the most critical of the style of play, at least going through that January and February months where I just hated watching Peterborough. It was just making me miserable. I didn't get any enjoyment out of it, and we could have lost that game 4-3 last night. And I realise some of this is because some of the pressure's been taken off because we've won a little bit recently, but I still would have enjoyed the football match. And I think having that period of playing turgid football has made me appreciate this style even more so than before, because it's been so good for so long. We almost had it bad for 2 months, and now we've got it back where it's entertaining again, and you can take it for granted. And actually, this is just what I want to see from Posh. I know we didn't defend very well, and I'm sure we're going to criticise some of the defenders last night as we go on with this podcast, but overall, I just wanted to flag the style of play and how much better and how much more enjoyable that is. And please, if we go for another sticky patch, Fergie, please just stick with this, because this is the way forward. This is Peterborough, and this is what we all enjoy.
Yeah, and it's coincided completely with us moving to this 4-2-4. I mean, we tried to play it against Charlton, but I think that it was not the easiest game for Lindgren to come into. And that was the last game that we lost before this 1-in-10 losses run that we've been on, or 9-in-10 under without a defeat. I should probably put it more positively. Completely agree, and it's working so well. The only player you'd love to see on the pitch more who can't right now is Hayes, because Poku's keeping him out. And it was, I mean, on Poku, I thought he had on the whole, a pretty average game by his standards, and he still got 2 assists. It kind of tells you about his quality. Also, that second assist was very good, and if it hadn't been Oddo that had put it in, I think Ricky would have got there if the ball had been hit slightly less hard across the face of the goal. And it's, you know, once he's back, we've been saying it for a few games now, once he's back up to 100% and he's able to put in a 90-minute performance, it'd be great if he could do that against Cobblers. You know, we're once again hopefully going to be looking at the best player in League One, as Ashley calls him. And I think on his day, he is. But yeah, loving the 4-2-4. Long may it continue completely.
Yeah, I think Bock is still sort of warming up, isn't he? And really trying to gain that confidence. But he's still doing the things to those teams like you saw yesterday. Some of the runs, some of the passes that he was making were just spot on. Like, I know that obviously Harry mentioned that defender looking like an absolute donkey on ice as he was stumbling over for Otto to finish his first. But you've got to have the confidence to make that pass and the vision as well. And when you think about the third Otto goal, I don't know how clearly it came across on the commentary, but from some of the highlights, you can hear Fergie screaming at Mother Seal to make the pass to Poku. And I think that's credit to Mother Seal as well, in that, look, he didn't have a fantastic game yesterday. And I think that's sort of where we're all at as a podcast, is that we don't want to just talk about Otto, but he was fantastic. But everybody else was just sort of like a bit meh, really, but not like totally shit that they need to be slagged off, but not good enough to really sort of praise, in that actually, when I think that probably the people that do need the praise is the subs yesterday. I think that they really gave us a lease of life. And like we said before, Hayes, to be able to bring somebody like that on for the last 20, 25 minutes, where he's just so confident to run at the ball. And De Havilland was really positive yesterday. And I love watching Sissoko play football as well. And even Katongo, when he came on, like you think about the bloke that he was replacing, Sam Hughes, thought that Katongo had a solid performance. And we know that Katongo has that ball playing sort of expertise that, you know, not that Sam Hughes is just an absolute slugger. We've discussed that before as well. But Katongo adds that like extra string to the bow of being able to play from the back confidently, a little bit more calm on the ball, because the press from Crawley yesterday was relatively hard. And Katongo's got that ability to see the pass and make the pass. And overall, it wasn't a fantastic performance from Posh and from everybody else on the pitch, but they got through the game again. And that's all that we can ask, isn't it?
No, it is. What more could you ask for? Goals and we got a win. Obviously, I've seen somewhere on social media that, you know, I've got to give Nick a bit of credit. We've had three games. The last three games have been 4-3 against Crawley, which we've won. Also, a stat that I found myself without anybody telling me is in our last four league games against Crawley, we have scored four goals. Now, I'm not sure any other team where we've scored four goals in consecutive league games, which anyway is pretty good. But I just want to sort of bring up Eden. Whatever his name is. he's a feisty little fucker, isn't he? Eh? You know, he is literally, I love him. So we had the penalty. I don't know, obviously many people would have seen it. We had the penalty and it was all kicking off on the corner. He was getting pushed by these big blokes and he's like sort of holding his ground. And then I don't know what happened, but as we've scored, there's a little bit of an incident that we didn't actually see at the time. I've seen a few clips where he's sort of like squaring up to these other two. And then at the end of the game, he's having to be, I don't know if anybody saw, but the final whistle's gone and then the ref's gone running over to sort of move Eden away from everybody else. And then Fergie sort of grabbed hold of him, give him a kiss and a cuddle and move him out. But love it. I absolutely love the sort of attitude of like really fighting for the cause and, you know, just getting people sort of backs up and getting stuck. Because there's nothing of him. Mate, the bloke must be about fucking 4'7". You know, and that is like when he's got his studs on. So I love him. I think he's a great little asset to the club, and he is a feisty fucker. One of my favourite players at the moment. Hopefully, we can keep him for the next season. But yeah, no, it's always good to see.
One player we haven't mentioned so far, which is a bit weird given that he was a match winner, is just Ricky J. Jones. I'm not sure. I think part of the reason we haven't mentioned him is probably because he fits into that category that Ash mentioned of just a bit of a meh performance. It wasn't like he was terrible. And actually, I thought there was some moments of link-up play with Malik Mothersill in particular that actually impressed me quite a lot going forward. And his pace along the back line was a threat. He's certainly working harder than in that phase where he sort of went off the boil completely 2 months ago. There's still things that he needs to refine. But I did think, I'll be honest, when we got the penalty and I saw Ricky stepping up, I wasn't the most confident. I was thinking, I wonder why we have Ricky taking the penalty. But it turned out to be a really good decision. Very confident, really good penalty, took it well. The exact sort of finish that we very rarely see from Ricky J. Jones in open play, weirdly. But in that situation, he stuck it away really, really well. And balls are still to step up. So I do think he deserves a lot of praise for going in at the last minute and saying, yeah, I'm having this penalty. I like to see that from my number nine, my striker. That's what number nine should be doing, right? They should be wanting to get those goals. We've seen it with Clark Harris, etc. Penalties help your goal tally and Ricky needs to score more goals. And if he wants to take penalties, that's a good way to state your claim. So well done, Ricky. I would say an improved performance. Still areas where he needs to get better, but certainly an improved performance. And Ash, the other guy I wanted to touch on quickly is just Kieran Hayes. I think it's worth a discussion on him because when we signed him from Fleetwood, I'm not sure that I expected him to be at the level that he is. I saw a stat today that he has completed the fifth most dribbles in the entirety of League One this season, which is really impressive given that the other players in this list are basically key starters for their teams. Now, Hayes has been in and out of our team, I would say, but he's certainly not a key player. And a lot of the time he is used as a substitute, certainly now. And he's becoming a really important substitute and an impact sub to have on our team. But I'm seeing signs that when Poku goes, I am very confident that Hayes can come in and perform a role. I think in transition, when teams give him a bit of room, he is brilliant because he's so hard to tackle. He is a live wire. He keeps going, which is something we credit him for throughout this entire season. He is very tenacious, very hardworking. He demands the ball, which I love to see from our wingers. He wants the ball. When he gets on it, he never shirks away. If he gets tackled, he had a poor performance against Reading, for instance. But even there, he was up. He's at him again. He goes again. He's never dispirited. He never looks low on confidence. And I thought he was great last night. I'm not sure. I know we've said Otto won that single-handedly, and he did. But Hayes coming on sort of flipped the switch, and we started creating again when we were on the back foot. And a lot of that pressure, I think, came from his energy, from his ability to get the ball forward and carry the ball into the areas. And he was really destroying their left-back during his time on the pitch. So another really good sub-performance from him. And if it was anyone but Poku, I would be saying he needs to start now. I think maybe there's an argument that you could shift Poku inside for Mothersill and start Hayes down the right. But again, I'm not convinced that's the way forward. So it is a bit unfortunate for him that he's on the bench, and it looks like his role till the end of the season is going to be as an impact sub. But I really like Kieran Hayes, and I am looking forward to next season when I think he will be a pretty much a permanent starter in this team.
Yeah, I agree. It's an interesting one that you sort of look at somebody that had a relatively good run, and now they're sort of resigned to being an impact sub, and it's just kind of strange. And then talking about impact subs as well, that penalty, the first person that I thought was, right, Ryan de Havilland, he's going to pick the ball up, he's going to take it. He had the ball in his hands. You think back to Wrexham, he was brought on specifically to take a penalty in that crucial shootout. So you're thinking, 93rd minute or whatever it was, give the ball to Ryan de Havilland. This may be his only kick of the ball in the 90th minute. He'll put the ball in the back of the net. But like you said, John, the absolute stones on Ricky to pick the ball up, because Ricky's had his fair share of criticism, not just from us, not just from the people on Twitter, but it was just an absolute tirade at points last season where he was missing goals. He's missed goals this season, which, you know, others have made comment on as well. And it was almost like he was prepared to take the hit for the team in case he did miss it, and that he didn't want anybody else to be sort of knocked back by that criticism, and that may have happened. Because look, if he misses, then everybody's going, well, why the bloody hell didn't Ryan de Havilland take it? He's taking it off of him and put the ball in the back of the net. And it was just an all-round good performance summed up by the ball hitting in the back of the net. And then when I think back to the complete other end of the pitch, I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about Jed again. And he's sort of losing those things that made you feel confident in him. Like we saw last night, yes, the third goal was a poor pass from Mothersill, but he sort of, I've watched the highlights, and he sort of like runs forwards and then like pauses for like a second and then realizes that he needs to go back as the player's gone round him. It's like, He's not a big goalkeeper. Like, I would expect agility to be one of his redeeming factors. And for that particular moment, it looked like he had a turning circle of a double-decker bus and like just couldn't get himself back. I think somebody like Bilo, fuck knows what happens with Bilo sometimes. Like, it could have been like 7-6 or something like that if Bilo was in goal. But I just don't want him to lose that confidence. He's still doing the things where he comes out and catches the ball and relieves that pressure from the defence. And then there were chances where he was moving the ball forwards and we were like trying to counter. But it's just a little bit concerning that twice yesterday he looked a little bit like a rabbit in the headlights. And it not really through anybody's fault other than maybe Mothersill's and a good run from their attacker for the first one. And he was just sort of in total no man's land.
I just really want to quickly jump in there, Ash, and sort of, you know, agree with everything you said about Jed. What also I'm disappointed with at the moment is his distribution is like really fucking like taken a few steps back. You know, some of it, I know we want to get the ball out quick at times, and he was doing that very well, but some of it last night was rushed, where he was like rushing and throwing it, and then it was just going into no man's land. Or some of his kicking was a little bit, who's that to? You know, appreciate want to get the start the attack quick, but I think he just needs to breathe a little bit to release rather than rushing it and giving it away, which we did a few times. But yeah, no, I'm with you. There's a few little things starting to set in that is concerning me a little bit. Hopefully it's just a little blip and he will come back to what he's been like in the last few weeks.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, another little blip I think I'm seeing to a certain extent is defensively, at least in those, you know, box situations where there's a lot of pressure on him, is Sam Hughes. I think he was stitched up at Reading by Manny for the first Reading goal, and he was tight to his man, but couldn't stop the ball going in, ended up being an own goal. But the second goal last night, I think he should be in front of his man. It kind of hits Hughes, bobbles off Jed, rolls in. And I still think that in the, if I can call it the open field, where he's got to try and get a header, he's still absolutely dominant. And that is great to see. But I'm concerned a little bit that when the ball's coming across the face, or it's one of those pinball situations in the box, that's two games in a row where Hughes has had a little bit of an error tight with his man. So, yeah, I'm hoping again on that front, there's a little bit of a blip only. I think Cobblers is a good game to go into where I think that their chances will be limited, and hopefully both of them can come back. For what it's worth, I thought Wallin coming back in, he did fine. I might be wrong, but I'm not sure any of the goals were his fault last night. And just a decent performance. I'm yet to see Wallin do a 9 or a 10 out of 10 performance, right, in a posh top. But equally, in this entire unbeaten run that we've had, and you can exclude him from the Reading game for obvious reasons, he's not been lower than like a 6.5 or a 7, in my opinion. He's consistently being decent. And that's all we can ask for him, especially given his form in the first half of the season.
Yeah, look, there has been a lot of improvements across the squad, and somebody as well, like we said about Poku coming back into the team, I think that Kyprianou has been relatively instrumental as well in that. And yesterday was another one of those performances where he's just everywhere. And I think that that's what we need from our midfielders, him and Archie Collins. I don't, again, like, it wasn't a fantastic performance from either of them, but, you know, credit is where it's due, is that they were available for their teammates and they were busting a gut. I think that the only thing that Archie Collins really lets himself down with is that he just doesn't score goals. He had that one yesterday that was cut back to the penalty spot, and it was just a side foot into like either side of the goalkeeper, and it goes into the back of the net, and he's just like giving it to the goalkeeper as like catching practice. Whereas like I think that those ones he should be finishing. Like, I always like to think of like the midfielders and when they arrive in that position as somebody like Frank Lampard, for example. Obviously, they're not anywhere near that standard, but if you think about the amount of times that Frank Lampard would have put the ball in the back of the net from that position, is that that is what our midfielders who are arriving late for that ball that comes is cut back is across and across the box is. I think that's the thing that they're missing from their game. And realistically, I think between Archie Collins and Kyprianou, they probably could have had 15 goals between them this season. But I think that they're probably only on around 5 or 6, is it? So I think that's probably the only thing missing from the midfield. And when you bring on somebody like Sissoko, he offers that and he's always in the box. And then De Havilland was there. Yes, De Havilland was slightly more progressive and in the 10 replacing Poku, I think it was. But I think that's probably the only thing missing. And then it would have been another sort of, I know that Max was desperate for a 6-4 yesterday, wasn't he? And there was every chance that it could have been if we'd have buried the chances that we had.
All right. Next up, Saturday, the Nene Derby, Nen Derby. I'm definitely Nene in the way I pronounce it. I think all of us on this pod are. And it's an interesting one. I mean, Cobblers have been keeping their head above water, but at the same time, they have been pretty close to the relegation zone and with a few losses along the way, really bad ones, including Rotherham 2-0 at home last night, who have not exactly been in great form. I want to talk to you guys about it. What do we think? How close is this one to Cambridge in terms of importance for you as well? I'll come to Ashley first.
this isn't a derby, really, is it? Like, you just have to look at the ticket sales for this game, and it's going to be like an 8,000, 9,000 sort of capacity game. We probably should have given them more tickets so that they can sell them. They're a lot more passionate about this game than we are. Caveat, when we spank them fucking 9-0 on Saturday, I will give it large at 6 p.m. on Twitter. But it was disappointing when we went there in December on that Monday night and lost that game. But it just doesn't... It's the thing that I wanted to avoid towards the end of the season, where the games don't mean anything or they don't mean as much. But having a quick scroll through Twitter today, their fans are really concerned that they might get dragged into a relegation scrap like this late on. So, you know, we've dispatched Cambridge already. They're down. Why not chuck Northampton down there with them as well? I'd love for them to join. Who did I say? Obviously, Shrewsbury had gone, Cambridge had gone, Bristol Rovers and Northampton. That would be an absolutely bloody perfect set of four relegation. It's not a massive derby for me. It will probably amp up a little bit come Saturday morning. But yeah, I think we should be confident going into this one. I think that their fans are relatively stressed at the moment about the potential to come to London Road and concede five goals and maybe only score one again.
Yeah, I'm with Ash fully. I'm not sure Northampton even feature in like my top five most disliked clubs, to be honest. It certainly feels like a bigger game for them than us. What I would say is, if you do want to class it as a derby match, these are the less shit of our two rivals, but they are still pretty shit. I mean, we've had a terrible season and they're 5 points behind us. Even at our worst, we still are the best of all our rival teams, whatever you want to call them, quite comfortably. I think the game at Six Fields, look, we should have won that game. Ricky's missed. I think 9 times out of 10, we win that game of football. We defended awfully from set pieces. But if we turn up and play like we're playing now, we should beat them. I'm not particularly worried about any of their players, if I'm being brutally honest. I think we weren't in a good run of form when we played them, and we completely passed them off the pitch, really. They just got lucky from two set pieces where we didn't mark up. And I don't think it'll be a repeat of that this time. I think at London Road, we've seen before, they've been completely outclassed, and I don't see any reason why they won't be outclassed this time, if I'm being perfectly honest. We are a better football team than them. And these rivals of ours that want to, you know, to pretend that they need to get fucking better at football. If they want us to start taking it seriously, get better. Give us a challenge, because Cambridge come here and get spanked every year. Northampton is shit. We could lose both of them from League One this season. So, yeah, if you want us to take it seriously, start playing some decent football would be my advice.
Yeah, it's an interesting one on the set pieces from the game at Six Fields, isn't it? And the one big change is that we have our organising general, Sam Hughes, and I think that he would take ownership of that. The concerning thing is that he obviously limped off injured yesterday, and so far I've not heard anything of whether that's going to be short-term, long-term, whether he'll be back for Saturday. Hopefully, whatever it is that he felt is minor and he will be back and in the squad, and maybe he can like hit that, you know, like Del says, hit that Zakuani like injection and just gets himself set through the game. And I think that probably Sam Hughes is that type of footballer where he will say, give me whatever I need to get me through 90 minutes and then I'll just put my feet up for the next week or so, because, you know, he's got the Tuesday against Birmingham and then obviously he's got, what, 10 days off after that as well. So I think that Sam Hughes is that type of player, and hopefully, as long as he's on the pitch, I'm confident that we're not going to concede from set pieces again. And, you know, we'll see where that takes us.
So I've been sitting here like the old man that I am, all quietly. Is Northampton a derby? Of course it's a fucking derby. Now, I get the hype that Cambridge is bigger at the moment, because most of our fans at the moment are the younger generation and have not really experienced Northampton, whatever. And hence why it's mainly Cambridge. I'll give you that. But Northampton definitely are a derby, without a shadow of doubt. There's a reason why our two derby oppositions, Cambridge United and Northampton Town, their initials spell cunt. Okay, so can't stand a pair of them. Can't stand them. But, you know, anyway, going back to Northampton, it is a Neen. I can't even believe, Harry, that you said you could pronounce him as a Neen. Well, obviously you do. You're a Peterborough fan. You know, you're not a six-finger wobbler. So, definitely a derby. Never liked drawing against them. Never liked losing against them. And obviously, when we went there, was it last season, and they scored that fucking freak goal against me. That's horrible, horrible thing. So I just hope we spank them. I don't even give a shit what the score is. I just want to spank them. I don't want them to get relegated. Don't get me wrong. I never want Cambridge or Northampton to get relegated, purely because I like going there and battering them most of the time. So, you know, and when you haven't really got much to play for, like we haven't this season, you want to be having these sort of games against your rivals. It's a shame, as Ash said, there's not more interest in it when, with the ticket sales, et cetera, but, you know, hopefully we can get them and Derby days back again like we do with Cambridge. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Saturday, and yeah, it should be good. You know, again, watching it from a different view this time, I believe. Anyway, I'm in the main stand. Is that where we are, main stand? Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. So, yeah, fuck off, Cobblers.
Nice and diplomatic as ever, Dale. I went on a Northampton pod earlier tonight. You'll probably hear, actually, I said we'll probably release this before they release theirs. It's called It's All Cobblers to Me. And it was interesting to... hear how deflated they are, but they're talking about tactics changes for this game. They were complaining about the lack of tickets that they've had available to them, allocated to them. And you're right. I mean, I don't think we imagined we wouldn't be selling out the GH display, but at the rate that we've gone, we could have given it to them and they'd have probably sold out the whole thing. It would have added to the atmosphere a little bit. But on Cobblers, they're in a crisis of confidence moment. They're playing a weird three at the back system with kind of three up top as well. Hoskins, rather than him being out on the wing, they're playing him up front. McGeehan, their top scorer, he's only scored 9 all year, and they were ready to drop him when I spoke to the two podcast hosts, Danny and Charles. And we could see a bit of a change from them. Whereas for us, I think every change will be enforced if there's any. And as you say, hopefully Hughes will be back. And I think it will be good to, again, a good potential bounce back game for Steer. And it's interesting that Steer was in goal when we beat Cobblers more recently, and it was Bielo in goal for both of the two games that we lost. Not that the 2-1 in December was Bielo's fault by any stretch of the imagination, but it's still, you know, hopefully history will repeat itself is what I'm getting at. And we come out of it with a comfortable win.
Yeah, it's interesting as well, isn't it? Like, Charlie mentioned something yesterday. I don't know the lad's name. I've just been and gone and tried to look for it. But apparently he reckons that we're signing one of their players. He apparently tweeted a picture of Sol Campbell and the sort of, like, the flip between the rivalry thing. And he got dropped out of the squad yesterday. So, I think that's probably something that might add a little bit of bite, you know, losing a player to your rival. Although, obviously, it's not going to happen until the end of the season, if it does happen at all. I think the link was that DMACC had said that we'd already identified Poku's replacement, and Charlie thinks that this guy is Poku's replacement. So, you know, got you all scrambling at the bottom there with who the bloody hell is this player actually talking about. I've got no idea, because I wasn't listening to Charlie. Just like, you know, most people wouldn't either, would they? You know, why would you? But yeah, that's my little link up. I've got no idea who the bloke is. Hopefully he's good enough for us, but not good enough for Cobblers.
All right. Any other thoughts, gentlemen? Are we there for predictions? All right, let's go for it. Ashley, lead us off.
Right. I'm thinking back to Cambridge, and I predicted that we were going to win 6-0 the last time because we were going to go one better. It was 6-1, so it's kind of like not one better. So I'm going to go this year 6-2. I think it's going to be an absolute goal fest. Let's have another Poku hat-trick like he had in the Cambridgeshire derby. And the other three, I don't really care. I literally don't care. Like, let's just win 6-2. Let's ruin their day. Let's send them that little bit closer to... relegation. Just, you know, get him twitching a little bit. That'd be good. 6-2 from me.
I'm not convinced it'll be 6-2, if I'm honest. I'm going to go for another 5-1. All right, another 5-1 win. Don't even know who's going to score. Don't really give a shit. 5-1. I might even go 5-0. I'll stick to 5-1 because the way Jed's been of late, we are going to concede. So 5-1, please, for me.
Man, I thought I was being quite confident because I was going to say 3-1. I think I've said 3-1 for the last two matches now. And I was going to say 3-1. And now I've just been completely superseded by Ash and Dale. We've just gone, yeah, we're going to absolutely destroy them. But I do see a comfortable win. Like I say, they're just not that much about Northampton that worries me anymore, given the way we're playing. I just think in front of our own crowds, yeah, I think we should comfortably dispatch with them. I'm going to go with a pocket goal. I think Mothersill will be back among the goals. And I'm going to go with Hayes getting one off the bench.
Boy, oh boy, you think you're being tame with it, John. I went on that Cobblers podcast, as I said, and I predicted 2-1 to us, and I'm going to stick with it. The only thing I'm a bit nervous about, I can't remember the last time I successfully predicted a result on this show. And I think we could be going all the way back to August when I predicted Exeter to be beaten by us, because I always get it wrong. I predicted we'd draw against Crawley. We beat Reading. So let's hope I finally break the jinx with this 2-1 prediction. But for now, we are there. We'll see you all on Saturday at London Road, Saturday, 5th of April. And that's it. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Abraham Otto.